So we're resuming our study of Sefer Melachim Aleph. We had taken a Yom Tov hiatus, and now we're back. So we're in the middle of Perek Tesvav, I guess towards the beginning. We had read a few psukim into the story of the newest king of Yehuda, whose name was Asa. But for everyone's sake, we'll go back to Pasuk Tes and reintroduce ourselves to the king Asa. This is going to be... we'll probably be able to do his entire time of being king. And like we've been seeing, we keep going back and forth between the kings in the northern kingdom, the Malchus Yisrael, the kings in the southern kingdom, the Malchus Yehuda. This is going to be, we're going to be taking a big break. After Asa, we go back to the northern kingdom for at least, I think it's about five or six, actually more, up to seven chapters. In the Navi, where we'll be devoted solely to the Malchus Yisrael. So what we have to do today is read the story of Asa and study the story of Asa here in Sefer Melachim. And then there are three small chapters in Divrei Hayamim that deal with the story of Asa and kind of fill in some of the information that's quote-unquote missing from Sefer Melachim and hopefully put the story of Asa together. So we're picking up in Sefer Melachim Aleph Pasuk Tes. Uvishnas Esrim liyeravam Melch Yisrael. It was in the 20th year, which is heading towards the final time of Yeravam being king in the north, in Malchus Yisrael. Malach Asa al Yehuda. Asa ruled over the southern kingdom of Yehuda. Pasuk Yud. V'arba'im v'achas shana malach v'Yerushalayim. And for 41 years, he ruled in Yerushalayim, which currently will be the record for being king. We have David kind of king for 40 years. At least over the tribe of Yehuda. We have Shlomo HaMelech, who was king for 40 years. We have previous Shoftim and different judges, and Moshe Rabbeinu ruled over Klal Yisrael for 40 years. And here we hear Arban Ba'achas, 41. Why he deserves to have that kind of the record, I have not seen any explanation for. We are going to see that relative to some of the other kings, and specifically his father, he is going to be considered to be more righteous. He is going to be somewhat rewarded for that righteousness. But we're going to see that his righteousness didn't exactly measure up to the righteousness of his ancestor David HaMelech. So why he gets to be Arban Ba'achas, it's kind of be a question that you can think about. And then we're told V'shem Imo Ma'acha Bas Avishalom. His mother's name was Ma'acha, the daughter of Avishalom, which we pointed out last time, doesn't seem to be factually true, that we hear in Divrei Yamim, and also where we hear, we know who his father, Aviam, was married to, and this is actually Aviam's mother. So this is the current king, this is Asa's grandmother, and we pointed out last time that it's to some degree that his father, Aviam, was not king for so long. There probably was this position, because we do have it hinted to in other, or not even hinted to, stated in other psukim and malachim, something like the queen mother. The mother of the current monarch had some type of role. She may have even had a seat next to the throne. There was something of some importance, and so this Ma'acha, she may have retained her position. It also be that she was not, as we're going to point out very soon, she was not a woman of proper religious morals, and therefore, perhaps it's being mentioned, his connection to his now grandmother is being mentioned to highlight the fact that he did not follow in her ways, he did not allow her to influence, he was not afraid of her position, of her previous position of power, and so it's kind of, in some ways, it might raise the stock of Asa. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayas Asa Hayashar be'enei Hashem, ki David aviv. And Asa did what was yashar, what was straight in the eyes of Hashem, ki David aviv, like David, his father. And again, here, the same way you said that Ma'acha is his mother, David his father, David is not his father, David is his ancestor. This is in direct contrast to his own father. His own father, Aviam, was described as Asher, Asa, David. David had done what was Yashar, but he, right, he did not. This individual, Asa, is now, we don't even hear anything that he did, but the opening heading is that he did what was Yashar Bein Hashem. Kid David Aviv, so maybe you could understand, right, in all of, definitely in rabbinic literature, when the letter chaf or kaf is in front of a word, so the translation of that letter is like. And a question a person is, should always ask themselves is, well, how like is like? Is it an exact? Is it like a carbon copy? Is it, or is it just similar? Initially, in the beginning of Asa's life, we definitely, and in the beginning of his time being king, we definitely see him being almost like David. But there's going to be one small aspect of the beginning of his monarchy that's not like David, and then a major aspect of his monarchy towards the end that is also not like David, which leads us to say, "Kid David, he was like David, and everything is relative, but he wasn't exactly, he wasn't the same as David. He wasn't as consistent in his approach to Avodas Hashem." Pasuk Yud Beis. Why is he righteous? Vayaver es hakedeshim min haaretz. He removed the kedeshim, which could either be translated as the prostitutes, or the way the Metzudat Tzion translates it, haniyuf, just the immorality, the sexual immorality that had existed, that we had stated that over the course of time, in the time of Rechavam, and then in the time of Aviyam, so he... His number one goal was to try to rid the country, his monarchy, the Malchus Yisrael, the southern kingdom, from immorality in intimate areas of life, as well as v'yasar es ha-gilulim. He removed the gilulim. Gilulim, the English translation I have is idols. What do you have in the Judaica idols. Press? Idols. So the Metzudat Tzion tries to explain where the source of this word comes from. It almost comes from the phrase galal v'tzoah, phrases that are used for excrement, meaning it is referring to idols, but in a very derogatory way. And he removed them, asher asu avosov, that his forefathers had made. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they made, but it also refers to the fact that they allowed them to exist throughout the land, and they did not rid these idols from the land. So on the one hand, he's dealing with immorality, on the other, and then he goes on to deal with Avodah Zarah and ridding Avodah Zarah from the land. Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'games ma'acha imo v'yisireha migvira. Also this ma'acha, his mother, who again, we're pointing out, was not his mother, his grandmother, v'yisireha migvira, he removed her from her position of prominence. The word gevira, like the word gibor, strong, it means someone of stature, someone of prominence. So she had a certain position in the monarchy. He removed her from that position. She had represented herself, at least the way the Navi describes her, asher asa mifletzes la'ashera. She had made a mifletzes, which the translation translates as some type form of abomination, la asherah. This seemed to be, you know, kind of the previous pasuk. He mentioned he was trying to take away immorality in terms of the sexual nature, and then he took away idolatry. This, his grandmother was so talented, she mixed the two together. It was some type of immorality that dealt with the Avodah Zarah. Asherah normally is a type of tree. And he went ahead, vayichros asa es miflatzta, he went ahead and cut down this Avodah Zarah tree immoral item, vayisrof benachal Kidron, he burned it in Nachal Kidron. This and most, and perhaps the other aspects of Avodah Zarah that he removed, one is not allowed to have benefit from Avodah Zarah when it is an Avodah Zarah, even when you destroy it. So v'yisrof benachal Kidron, he burned it in the valley of Kidron, in a place where no one would be able to benefit from any of the physical materials that went through. And if we would stop right here, we would say, like, Asa's our superhero. He's great. He went ahead, he's leading a tshuva movement in the land of Israel. And now we understand why the pasuk says vayas asa hayasher ben Hashem. We understand why he's going to be able to rule for a long amount of time, almost as a reward. But the pasuk goes out of its way to tell us in pasuk Yud Dalid, v'habamos lo saru. The bamos were the private mizbechos, the private altars he did not remove, kind of half the pasuk. Rak levav asa hayashalim Hashem kol yamav. Only that the heart of Asa was shalem, was complete with Hashem all of his days. What does this refer to? So we're going to see the Psukim in Divrei Hayamim are going to tell us about certain mizbechos, certain altars that Asa did destroy. So basically it comes down to that there were two types, at least two types of private altars that existed throughout the southern kingdom at this point, unfortunately. There were those that were reserved or meant for Avodah Zarah. And there were those private mizbechos, private altars that people had that they actually wanted to worship Hashem on these altars. Now, both are wrong, and both are wrong for different reasons. The Avodah Zarah is wrong because Avodah Zarah is just wrong. And so he got rid of those. Bringing a private karban is also wrong because Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, and from now and forever, including 2020, if some genius would decide to build a mizbech somewhere in America or in Eretz Yisrael, it's prohibited. It's usher. And it's actually punished by kares. It's a serious offense not to bring a karban outside of the Temple Mountain. If you want to build a mizbech on top of the Temple Mountain, halachically, you're okay, but it's probably sakanas nefashos. They don't really let Jews pray much up there. Can you imagine if they tried schlepping? I think every year on Erev Pesach, some crazy Israeli tries to schlep a goat or a sheep up the ramp, and then the soldiers stop him, obviously, because we don't want to start World War III. We don't have to. We're not charged to go ahead and do that. There was a great Rav in the 1800s in Europe, Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer. He went on a campaign to try to convince all the Rabbanim in Europe that we should bring back the Karban Pesach. That he was making a halachic argument. You don't have to. You don't really need it. You don't need a Beis HaMikdash. You don't need everyone to be pure. You don't need, if everybody's tameh, then you could actually bring a karban. That's a part of the Hanukkah story. They really could have. They could have used tameh oil. If everybody's tameh, then you can be tameh in the Beis HaMikdash. If everybody's tameh, so he just didn't understand the political scene of, in terms of what it would be to actually be in Israel and build a mizbeach. So you're not allowed to build a mizbeach, and it's punishable. You're not allowed to have a mizbeach anywhere else. It's punishable by kares, and therefore v'habamos lo saru is the stain, or at least the initial stain on the resume of Asa, is that he did not remove. He seemed to be so successful in terms of charging everyone and religiously cleaning up the country, yet he wasn't able to remove these bamos. And we're going to see, unfortunately, time and again, kings in the Malchus Yehuda, in the southern kingdom, for some reason, they can't convince the people, or they don't feel like they have the power to convince the people to stop with this kind of convenient way of serving Hashem. Right? They're the only kingdom that has the Beis HaMikdash. The northern kingdom doesn't have access to the Beis HaMikdash. So here, people aren't even that far, and yet there was something about the convenience of being able to worship Hashem in your own backyard. And even though it's punishable by kar, it's something serious, people were willing to tolerate it. And so some want to say, you know, maybe he was, to some extent, maybe he was cutting his losses. He recognized where the people were spiritually. He could get away the Avodah Zarah, he could get away the immorality, but like this was too much. And if you would take this away, then they may go back to worshiping Avodah Zarah. Maybe this was some type of, you know, middle ground. But again, it's held, it is to some degree held against him. And that's something that obviously during the time that David was actually king, this was allowed. During the time that David was king, the Mishkan was in a very temporary state of being, and so private mizbechos were allowed. During the initial time of Shlomo being king, private mizbechos were allowed. Once Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, private mizbechos were not allowed, and there's no indication that it was prevalent. But now, during this time period, it is. And so we have these two sides of the pasuk. There's v'habamos lo saru, which is the first half. There's asnachta under the word saru. We're told in totality, rak levav asa hayishleim Hashem kol yamav, all of his days. Now, all of his days again may also be relative, because we're going to see about a short period of time, seeming the period of time immediately before he stops being king / passes away. It seems to be a little harder to read the phrase Hayah Shalemim Hashem, but perhaps what it is the overall, when you take a look at Asa, overall, he was Shalemim Hashem kol yamav. Pasuk Tesvav. In addition to doing all these, which we would all categorize as, like Tehillim says, right? Sur Meira V'Asei Tov, to remove yourself from bad but positively do good. So till now it's been just removing bad. Here comes some of the Asei Tov. In Pasuk Tesvav, Vayave es Kodshe Aviv, He brought the holy items of his father, the Kodshei Beis Hashem, and the holy items of the house of Hashem, Kesef, Vezahav, Vechelim, whether it was silver, whether it was gold, or other items, other utensils. So the Metzudas David tells us that what is Kodshei Aviv, his father who was king, Aviam, for a short amount of time, just a few years, that there may have been things, there may have been items and monies that his father originally decided to donate to the Beis HaMikdash, but then his father went back on his donations and took them, and now Asa was kind of doing the tshuva of bringing them back to the Beis HaMikdash, or it was just that he was making his own donations, his own, even though he's not getting rid of the private Mizbeachos, he still wanted to glorify the Beis HaMikdash a little bit to spruce things up, to make sure that the storehouses and the treasure houses were full, and that the Beis HaMikdash had what it needed.
Can I ask you something? How do we know when it just says David that he's referring to his actual father, not like David, like we said before?
I guess we don't know 100% for sure. The way the Metzudas David is understanding it, he's being a little critical of who the father is. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you know, that wouldn't fit into David or Shlomo because they dedicated themselves to the Beis HaMikdash. It could refer to Rechavam, who was Asa's grandfather. So I guess we don't know for certain, but at least it could be referring to Aviam. There is a major battle that takes place, and we're only going to read about when we turn our attention to Divrei Hayamim. Why we're not told about it in Malachim is our constant question, and that perhaps in totality, the military victory that was, which we'll read about in Divrei Hayamim, it didn't necessarily impact Asa in the long run. So we're moving towards through the monarchy of Asa, and picking up in a moment where Asa, if we thought it was maybe a minor stain, the fact that he didn't remove the bamos, so Chazal are most critical for the quote unquote error that Asa is about to make.
Can I just say one thing? There's a thought that maybe the narratives are different for Divrei Hayamim and Malachim because they're written by different authors.
Right.
The point of the books are
right. So
guests.
Right. So Divrei Hayamim is supposed to tell the glory of the Malchus based David, so that when Ezra, who wrote it, is trying to celebrate the Davidic dynasty, so he wants to say all the really good stories
because
they're coming back, and he wants to raise it up.
Right.
And Malachim, as we've been saying, is written by Yirmiyahu, and it's kind of the unfortunate long story of the destruction.
Because that's what's coming, right?
You're right. 300 years later from now. Okay. But so that's why maybe some of these like super positive stories we just saw, right? We had this big question in the previous king, that there was a like major military victory against the northern kingdom. It was like a civil war with a major victory. It wasn't mentioned in Malachim at all, and it just didn't seem to make an impact. It didn't help the spiritual status of the country. It didn't make Aviam, who was king for only 3 years, any better a king for the actual people. So this story is happening. We hear the backdrop to the story is in Pasuk Tazayin. U'melchama haisa bein Asa u'bein Basha melech Yisrael kol yemehem. There was some type of melchama, some type of war, warlike status, warlike existence between Asa, who's the king in the south, and Basha, who we haven't heard about, but is eventually the king in the north. Kol Yemehem, all of their days. There was constant light battle. That's kind of how we understand it. In Divrei Hayamim, it's even going to present it in like there wasn't any battle in the sense that it wasn't anything major. There was nothing major until the story that we're about to read about. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayal Basha Melech Yisrael al Yehuda. At some point, Basha, the king over Israel, the king over the north, he came up, he went up against Yehuda, and to some degree he even, perhaps he invaded into territory. Vayiven es haRama, he built up the town of Rama, Levilti teis yotze uva la'asa melech Yehuda. In order to stop, in order to prevent Asa from leaving and entering, this was considered to be some type of affront to the southern kingdom. So at this point, Asa has to make a decision how to deal with the northern kingdom, and there are various choices, and the choice that he makes probably wouldn't even come into our minds. Pasuk Yudches. Vayikach Asa es kol hakesef v'hazav hanosarim ba'otzaros beis Hashem. Asa took all of the silver and all of the gold that were left in the treasure houses of the house of Hashem, of the Beis HaMikdash, Ves Otzros Beis HaMelech, and those Kesef and Zahav that was in the treasure houses of the king. By Yitnein Biyad Avadav, he gave this money into the hands of his servants. By Yishalchem HaMelech Asa El Ben Hadad, Ben Tavrimon, Ben Chezion, Melech Aram, Hayoshiv Bedamesek Lemor. He sent them to the foreign king, the king of Aram, in Damascus, in the foreign country of Aram, to Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad is the current king. He's the son of Tavrimon, who's the son of Chazion. Ben-Hadad, as we will see throughout the rest of Sefer Malachim, most likely might not be the name of an individual, but it's almost a title of an Aram king. So we'll see this title mentioned again. He's sending gold and silver. But the pasuk went out of its way to say this is the stuff hanosarim ba'osaros beis Hashem that was left over. That was the stuff that was left. Because if you remember during the time of Rechavam had to deal with the king of Mitzrayim, Shishak, coming and plundering the storehouses of the Beis Hashem and of the Melech. He even took Shlomo's throne. So the pasuk may be saying what was left? There was some stuff left, or maybe the recent donations that we read about in Pasuk Tezvav that Asa went ahead and donated it to the Beis HaMikdash. That's what he's now taking. So almost, you know, we were trying to say he did better than his father. His father had given gifts to the Beis HaMikdash and took them back. It could be the son is unfortunately doing the same thing, and he's sending what seems to be like a tribute to a foreign king. There are some mafarshim who explain in the military victory that we don't read about here, that we're only going to read about in Divrei Yamim, it could be a lot of the treasures that were stolen by the king of Mitzrayim, it could be they came back. So the king of Mitzrayim took it, another king took it from the king of Mitzrayim, and then the Malchus Yehuda got it back from that king, and so it's been restored, but now he's sending it as a gift to a foreign king. Why is he doing that? Pasuk Yotes. Bris beini uveinecha, bein avi uvein avicha. There's a covenant, right? This is the Melech of Yehuda, Asa, talking through his messengers to the foreign king of Aram, saying there's an agreement between me and between you, uvein avi uvein avicha, and between my father and your father. There's a standing treaty between us. Hine shalachti lecha shochad kesef v'zahav. This is an interesting way to present it. Behold, I am sending to you shochad. Normally we translate shochad as a bribe. So normally when you're bribing someone, I don't know, I haven't bribed someone so often. Normally you don't say, I'm bribing you. You say, here's a little gift, here's a little something, here's a little, you know, under the table. So I don't know if that's normal in Tanakh to refer to it as shochad. So much so that the art scroll doesn't translate it as bribery. The art scroll translates it as an inducement.
Bribe.
Bribe. Say it straight. Right? On the one hand, there's a covenant between us. So what I'm about to ask you really should be honored based on the covenant that's between us. However, I'm sending you a bribe of silver and gold. Lech hafeira es brischa es basha melech Yisrael. I want you to go and I want you to undo, to annul the covenant or the agreement that you made with Basha, the king of the north, the king of Yisrael, the Ya'aleh me'alai, so that he will go up from upon me. So apparently that there's some type of chronology here. That initially, before he was ever king, and before Ben-Hadad was ever king, there was a standing agreement between the Malchus Yehuda and Aram of some level of peace, of some level of agreement. Some point afterwards, Ben-Hadad also made an agreement with the Malchus Yisrael. What Asa is asking is honor my agreement more, and here's a financial incentive or bribe, inducement to do so, that you should hafer. Hafer is a language the Torah uses, the language of hafara, to annul a vow, a promise. Here we're talking about a bris. It means bitul, it means to negate it and nullify it. And therefore, you might have expected that he was asking him to fight. Come and fight with, right? A lot of times you would reach out to a foreign country and a foreign army to help you fight. He's not asking for that. He's basically saying, go neutral. Don't help the other side. If you don't help the other side, the Yala me'alai, he'll get up from me. Meaning, based on Asa's intelligence, perhaps you would say, military intelligence, the only reason why the northern kingdom feels confident in attacking the south is because of the assistance that they think they're going to get from Aram. But if we could neutralize Aram, to make Aram into Switzerland, then they won't have enough of a force to come against us, and we'll be able to hold our own.
Wasn't that a lack of faith?
100%. So Chazal say that this was Asa's worst mistake. And
worse than the Bamas?
To some degree worse than the Bamas, because this is a mistake that's being made much more on a national level. And Chazal say that Asa had a potential. We had mentioned this one or two times before, and now we could appreciate it. Asa had a potential that there was only 36 years that, or approximately 36 years that Shlomo slash Klal Yisrael deserved to be punished by having the kingdom ripped into two. And it was during the time of Asa, the math is a little hard to work out, but during the time of Asa that there would have been an opportunity for, if Asa had been righteous, for Asa to bring the kingdom back together again. And it was this offense that kind of cemented Asa as not being fully, that's why we go back to that phrase, was he like David? Was he only like David and not fully like David? And that this did not allow for Asa to bring the two kingdoms back together. And this was the only, again, hard for us to understand, but this was the only opportunity for that to happen. And once it didn't happen under the kingdom of Asa, it never happened again. And unfortunately, you know, it's 5780. It hasn't happened till now. So that this offense is, in the eyes of the Navi, it's, you know, I think it's under the surface that he should have gone to Hashem. He should have just relied on Hashem. Specifically, Divrei Hayamim is kind of make this worse, because there was a previous time where he did rely on Hashem. So you know why he made this decision, we don't know. But Chazal are extremely critical of this decision.
So can I just interrupt? I just did. If he hadn't given the treasures that belong to like Beis Hashem, would it be okay to make treaties?
I think,
or you understand what I'm saying?
Right, like, making a treaty without consulting Hashem first is a problem.
And they still had the ability to consult.
Yeah, they have a Kohen Gadol. Yeah, they have Nevi'im. They have a Kohen Gadol. They have, and we're going to see it more so in Divrei Hayamim. He had a lot of access to Nevi'im. Nevi'im had access to him.
Okay.
And so, again, it sounds horrible, right? How could it be that he made this quote-unquote one mistake, and that causes... So kings are held to a higher standard than non-kings, and this was a righteous king. He was one who was... This is one of the good guys. So our righteous king is held to a higher standard. Fine. So this was the offer. The offer was so good in Pasuk Chaf, Vayishma ben Hadad melech Asa. The Ben-Hadad, the king, Ben-Hadad listened to the king Asa. He listened to the king of Yehuda. Not only did he listen, he decided, hey, I'll take the gold, I'll take the silver, and now I'll fight with you, or I'll fight for you. Vayishlach esari hachayalim asher lo al arei Yisrael. he went ahead and sent some of his officers, officers of his soldiers, against the cities of Israel. Israel means the northern kingdom. Vayachas Iyon, Vias Don, Vias Ovel, Beis Macha, right? Three cities. Vias Kol Ha Kinros, all of the Kinros area. Al Kol Eretz Naphtali, which is by on all of the land of Naphtali. And so he went on the offensive. This is almost like a bonus that Asa got much more than he bargained for. He only wanted him to go neutral, and he ended up going on the offensive for him. But that definitely works for Asa. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayikishmo Basha. It was when Basha heard all this. Vayechdal mibnos harama. He stopped. He withdrew from building up this area of Rama, which he thought was going to somehow have a negative effect on the Malchus Yehuda. Vayeshev b'Tirza, he went and lived in Tirza. Tirza was presumably his capital city. We had seen so far two cities that seemed to be the capital city of the north. We had Shechem, which started out as the capital city. Then we see a more recent mentioning of the town of Tirza. And in the next parak or so, we're actually going to see that the capital is going to shift again from Tirza to another location. So the whole life, on a very practical level, Asa's plan worked. That the threat of the north stopped, he wins, and everything is accomplished. Pasuk Chaf Beis. V'hamelech Asa hishmia es kol Yehuda ein naki. The Melech Asa hishmia. Hishmia here is not just a language of hearing, but it's kind of it's used in the context of gathering. He gathers as Kol Yehuda ein naki. Ein naki literally means there's no one who's clean. There's no one who is exempt. He gathered all able-bodied individuals. Kol Yehuda. Vayisu es avnei haramav es etzeha. And what he did was he wanted them to dismantle whatever this fortress that the king of the north, Basha, was building against as a threat to the Malchus Yehuda. He wanted that destroyed. Vayisu es avnei harama ves etzeha, the stones, the wood, asher bana Basha. Vayiven bam hamelech Asa es geva binyamin ves mitzvah. So, and then very... First of all, practically and also symbolically, what he does is he takes the quote-unquote enemy's materials and he builds his own fortresses. His own fortresses to act as some preventative measure against the north. So it's on the one hand, it's just a good idea to build more fortresses if you feel like you're under constant threat. On the other hand, there's a like, I got you. You were trying to take these materials and harm us. We've now have the upper hand, and we dismantled your stuff, and we're now using your stuff against you. So like, take that. The Chazal is critical of his Hishmiya es kol Yehuda ein naki, that he kind of enlisted everyone, and the Gemara talks about the fact that he enlisted even Torah scholars, and he wasted time from the study of Torah, and that part of his he was punished at the end of his life, as we're about to read, and some of that circles back to this, that he wasn't sensitive to everyone's time, and for this project, it wasn't necessary. He went a little overboard in terms of who's responsible to come and help out with this national project, and therefore he was punished for it. Pasuk Chaf Gimel is the same way that we've ended ended other kings. V'yeser kol divrei Asa, the other matters of Asa. V'chol gvur Aso, and all of his might. V'chol asher Asa, and everything that he did. V'harim asher bana, the cities that he built. Halohim aksuvim al sefer divrei yamim l'malchei Yehuda. They're written in this book of daily chronicles of the kings of Yehuda. Which we have to imagine is that his volumes of books probably had to be much larger. He was king for so long. There's nothing else that's so significant that's important for us to know, but whatever it may have been, visits from dignitaries, the fact that he accomplished in terms of building and things of that nature, we don't know the details. It's written in that, again, this is not Divrei Hayamim, the Divrei Hayamim that we have. This was the daily chronicles of the king. And we're told kind of almost parenthetically, which Chazal pick up on, and it's also, I think it's elaborated a little more in Divrei Yamin, which you're about to take a look at, Rak le'ez ziknaso, it was only towards the end of his life when he was older, Chala es raglav, his legs became sick. He had some type of illness in his legs, which Chazal say that since he caused the Talmid Chachamim to go inappropriately, to go and help out with his project of taking apart the fortress, so the same way that he caused them to go inappropriately, so the ways of his going, namely his raglayim, his feet, they were attacked. And he had some type of illness, and we'll see more about it in Divrei Hayamim. Pasuk Chaf Dalid, Vayishkav Asam Avosav, he lay with his fathers, he passed away. Vayikavrim Avosav, he was buried with his forefathers, Be'ir David Aviv, in the city of David, his father. Vayimloch Yehoshaphat Beno Tachtav, his son Yehoshaphat takes over for him. And the next time we read actively, instead of just in the background, but actively about the Malchus Yehuda, will be in Perek Chaf Beis, in chapter 22. So we're in the tail end of chapter 15, so you have 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, six and a half, or six and a bit, of Prakim of Malachim Aleph, which will be devoted solely to the kingdom of the north. And it's very understandable, because as we're going to see, the kingdom of the north, specifically at this point, is so unstable that during the 41 years that Asa is king in the south, five kings span the time in the north. And so that's why we're going to devote so much time, and specifically one of the kings, Achav and Eliyahu, that whole episode takes place all during the time of Asa being king in the south. So that's the story as presented in Sefer Malachim. What we need to do is go through a little bit of Divrei Hayamim to see the details that were maybe missed, and to get a full picture of the life of Asa. They are short chapters. I don't 100% sure why, you know, each one is broken down into a chapter. They're all about the same amount of psukim. So we're picking up. This is Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Yudalid, and we'll see similar language. Right, Vayas Asa Hatov v'Hayashar Bein Hashem Elokav. He did what was Yashar, and here we hear also that it was Tov. And so in Malachim it didn't say Tov. Here it says Tov. Vayasar es Mizbechos Hanechar v'Habamos. He removed the Mizbechos Hanechar, the strange ones, meaning the ones of Avodah Zarah, and these Bamos must also be Avodah Zarah type of Bamos. Vayishaber samatzevos, he broke the pillars that were Avodah Zarah. Vayigadas asherim, he cut down the Asherah trees. The trees were Avodah Zarah. Vayomer lo Yehuda, and he said to Yehuda, Lidroshas Hashem Elokei Avosehem v'lasos hatorah v'mitzvah. This is kind of the addition. This is the tshuva speeches that he gave to the whole kingdom, saying you have to seek out Hashem, the God of our fathers. You have to follow the Torah. You have to follow the mitzvah. So at the same time, he's removing the bad, but he's also preaching the good. Vayasrim yikol arei Yehuda as habamos v'as hachamanim v'tishkot hamamlacha lefanav. He removed the bamos, so you have to put these psukim together. He's removing bamos, yet Sefer Malachim is saying he didn't remove bamos. So it's which bamos did he remove? He removed the inappropriate ones. And it's always in the context, right? Every time so far we've mentioned the word bama, v'as hachamanim, the chamanim, were certain was other types of images of Avodah Zarah. Vatishkot hamamlacha lefanav, the kingdom was shaket, the kingdom was quiet, there was a level of tranquility. Vayiven Ari Mitzura b'Yehuda, he built fortified cities. Kishak ta'aretz, for the land was calm. Ve'einimo milchama b'shanem ha'ela, there was no war during this time period. Kiniach Hashem lo, Hashem had given him, Hashem gave him rest. Vayomer liYehuda nivne es harim ha'ela. He said, "Let's build up these cities." Vanasev choma. He built walls, umigdalim, and towers, delasayim ubrichim, gates and bars. Odenu haaretz lefanenu ki darashnu es Hashem elokenu. The kind of the land is before us because we're seeking Hashem. Darashnu v'yanach lanu misaviv. We seek Him and He gives us rest from all around. Vayivnu, they were able to build. Vayetzlichu, they're able to be prosperous. Right, building is always a sign of of a time of peace and a time of success. We're told that he had a force. Vayhila asa chayel nosei tzina v'romach. He had an army of those who had spears and weapons. Miyehuda shlosh meos elef. His force of people from the tribe of Yehuda was 300,000. Umibidyamin nosei magain v'dorche keshes masayim u'shmonim elef. 280,000 from the tribe of Binyamin. Many of them experts in the bow. Kol ele gibor chayel. This was all the men of valor. This is his fighting force. Now, why do we need to be all told about his fighting force? Because there is a tremendous military battle coming against him. Vayetze alehem Zerach HaKushi. Zerach, who was the king of Cush, came b'chayil elef alafim. Elef alafim, what's another word for that? A million. Elef alafim, a thousand thousands. The art scroll in the art scroll Divrei Hayamim, it actually translates elef alafim as a million. I don't know if in Tanakh there is a language a word for a million. So I guess this is the way to say it. Umar kavosh shlosh meos and 300 chariots. Vayavu ad Maresha. They came to Maresha. So there's this pending battle. Vayetze Asa lefanav. Asa goes out, and it would appear based on the numbers, it would appear that Asa doesn't have the numbers. I mean, if you're doing just the math of a million versus 580,000, it would appear that the underdog in this fight is the Malchus Yehuda. Vayarchu melchama begei tzafasa lemaresha. That's where the battle is set, in this valley. And what does Asa do? Vayikra Asa el Hashem Elokav. Asa calls out to Hashem, his God. Vayomer, and he says, Hashem ein imcha la'azor bein rav la'ein koach. There's no one besides you to help. There's no one, right? Azreinu Hashem Elokeinu ki alecha nishanu b'shimcha banu alamon hazeh. You have to help us, Hashem or Hashem. It's upon you that we will be saved. It's in your name that we've come. Hashem Elokeinu ata, you are Hashem. Al yatzar imcha enosh. Don't let this man prevail against us. Vayigov Hashem es Hakushim. So the Divrei Hayamim says that Hashem smote the Kushim. Lifne Asa, lifne Yehuda, vayinusu Hakushim. So either he gave the Malchus Yehuda the koach to do it. Maybe there's some type of miracle here. Vayigov sometimes has a language of magefa, of a plague, of something that may be supernatural. So now Asa can go on the offensive against them. Vayir defame Asa va'amasher imo ad legrar. He's able to teach them to grar. Vayipol mikushim le'ein lahem michya. They almost none of them remained alive, it seems, or perhaps that's an exaggeration because they had such a large force. But at least they were no longer a threat. Ki nishbur lefnei Hashem. They were broken before Hashem, lefnei machaneu, before his camp. Vayisu shalol harbei ma'od, and they were able to bring back a lot of booty, a lot of wealth, which may be that's how the Otsoros Hashem, that's how the Beis Hamikdash's treasure houses and the king's treasure houses were replenished by this great military victory. Vayaku es kol ha'arim sivivos gerar, they destroyed all these cities. Ki haya pachad Hashem aleihem, the fear of Hashem came against them, against the enemies. Vayavozu as kol ha'arim ki viza rabba ha'isalehem, they were able to take a lot of spoils. Vagam ahalei miknehiku, they attacked their animals. Vayishbu tzon larov gumalim vayashuvu yushalayim, they were able to take back a lot of animals, livestock, a lot of animals, and they returned to Yerushalayim. So this story seems to be a tremendous, tremendous success, that he relies fully on Hashem. In the back of our minds, we're going over the story that we had in terms of his battle against the northern kingdom. It kind of begs the question, and it also highlights the mistake of why he, at one point in his life, he was very focused on that when you have a military battle, you go with Hashem and you follow Hashem's approach. So that definitely is calling that into question. The
14.
Now moving on to 15.
Hashem brings battles against the nation more when they're doing bad things to kind of wake them up and get them to do tshuva and see Hashem's, you know, greatness kind of thing. But here it seems like they were doing everything good. They weren't.
So maybe it's an idea of reinforcement, meaning the fact that he calls, he has got this huge army and he's calling out in the name of Hashem, it creates a more of an enforcement that we're not just, you know, this is real. Like we're on the verge of battle, and yet we're still calling out in the name of Hashem. Maybe it's a backwards way to kind of get back all those spoils. Again, if this king is king of Cush, so now at least according to the Mefarshim that say, well, the king of Mitzrayim stole all the treasures of Shlomo. Now the king of Mitzrayim is in Mitzrayim, so it makes sense that at some point the king of Ethiopia, this Zerah, could go ahead and do battle against him. He gets the treasures. Now he goes battle against Klal Yisrael, and at least Malchus Yehuda, and they get it back. So maybe it was a kind of a strange way to get back the treasures of the Beis HaMikdash. So Divrei Hayamim Beis Perek Tes Vav, the Azaryahu ben Oded Haisa Alav Ruach Elokim. There was a Navi whose name was Azaryahu, or Azariah, the son of Oded. Vayetze lifnei Asa, he went out to Asa, vayomer lo, and he said to Asa, the king, as follows. Shema'uni Asa v'chol Yehuda uvinyamin, listen to me, Asa, all of Yehuda and all of Binyamin, meaning all of the southern kingdom. Hashem imachem, Hashem is with you. Bioschem imo, if you will be with him, the imtidrashuhu yimatzei lachem, if you search him, he will be found for you. The imtazvuhu yazov eschem, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And it's almost like this message is saying that you can't take it for granted that Hashem is on your side. And almost the background, right? The Yamim Rabim li Yisrael, it had been a long time for Israel, lelo Elokei Emes, where they hadn't been focused on the God of Truth, velo Kohen Moreh, velo Torah, not with without having a Kohen teaching, without having proper Torah, vayashav batzar lo al Hashem Elokei Yisrael vayivakshu vayimatzei lahem. But when they were in their distress, they would turn to Hashem, and he was found. Uvita mahem, and in this time, ein shalom layotzei laba, there wasn't necessarily peace. Kimuhumos rabos al kol yoshvei aratzos, there was kind of uproar and for all those who lived around. V'chetetuhu goy begoy v'ir v'ir, ki elokim hamamam b'chol tzara, that they were... There was broken, there was kind of nation against nation, city against city. Va'atem chizku va'al yirfu yedechem, you should be strong, don't let your hands be weak. Ki yesh shachar lufulaschem, there is great reward. U'kishmoa Asa sadvar ma'ela, when Asa heard these words, va'anavua Oded ha'navi, the navua of Oded, so apparently not only was Azaryahu giving navua, but also his father Oded was giving navua. His chazek v'yaver shashikutzim mikol eretz Yehuda v'nyamin. This may have been part of the motivation for removing some of the disgusting things from the land of Yehuda and Binyamin. Umin ha'arim asher lokad mehar Ephraim, from other cities that they had captured from the north. Vayichadesh es mizbeach Hashem. Here we hear a similar pasuk that we said kind of almost cryptically in Malachim about how he donated to the treasure house of the Beis Hamikdash. So here you see it beautifully said. Vayichadesh es mizbeach. It was almost like a Chanukas hamizbeach that we talk about in the language of like Chanukah. But he renewed the altar of Hashem, Asher lefnei ulam Hashem, that was in the Beis Hamikdash. Vayikvos es kol Yehuda v'nyamin, he gathered everyone, v'hagarim imahem, and those who lived with them, me'afraim u'menashem mishimon. Here's a some type, not necessarily a hint, but during this time, apparently some of the northern kingdom had snuck in. Some of the 10 tribes had decided to live with the righteous king Asa. So he said that there were some representatives of Ephraim, of Benashem, Mishimon. Ki naflu alav miYisrael larov, berosom ki Hashem elokav imo. When they saw, when they heard that Hashem is with Asa, so there was some who somehow figured out ways to come and join. Vayikbetzu Yerushalayim b'chodesh ha'shlishi. They gathered themselves in Yerushalayim in the third month. L'shnas chamesh asrei l'malchus Asa, in the 15th year of him being king. Vayizbechu la'Hashem b'yomahu. They offered karbanos. Min ha'shalal Heviu, from the war. Bakar shva meos, vetzon shva alafim, 700 cows or cattle, 6,000-7,000 of the tzon. Vayavo babris, they themselves viewed themselves entering into a covenant, ledrosas Hashem Elokei Avosahem, to seek out Hashem, the God of their fathers, b'chol vavam l'chol nafsham, with all of their heart, with all of their soul, b'chol asher lo yidrosh l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael, yumas l'min katon v'ad gadol l'mish v'ad isha. I don't think necessarily this is understood literally, that whoever would not seek the Lord, a God of Israel, should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. It's just that it highlights their seriousness. Vayishavu, they took a shvua laHashem b'kol gadol with great voice, uvetrua v'chatzosos v'shofros, with the sounds of the shofar. And this was this great tshuva movement again that we had pointed out, that he didn't only focus on the sur meirah, but he focused on the asei tov. And it was great, right? Pasuk Tazva, Vayismuchu kol Yisrael ala shvua. They rejoiced over this religious commitment. Ki b'chol avavam nishbo. They swore with all their hearts. V'chol ritzonam bikshu, and with all of their will, they wanted to seek Hashem. Vayimatzei lohem, and he was found for them. Vayonach Hashem lohem yisaviv. Hashem gave them rest. And here we circle back to what happened with his grandmother. V'gamacha im asa. Hamelach, he removed her. Asher atza la ashera, she had made this abomination, the miflatzes. Vayichrotz asas miflatzta, vayadek, vayisrof benachal kidron. He made dust of it through the nachal kidron. And here we come back and we say, v'habamos lo sarim Yisrael. Rak levav asa hayashalim kol yomav, basically a carbon copy of the pasuk. So it means all those bamas that he removed before must be talking about the avodah zarah ones, but not the ones that were for Hashem. Vayavi katshe aviv uvikadasha beis alokim kesev hazav v'chelim, another carbon copy pretty much. Umolchama lo haisa ad shnas shloshim v'chamesh l'malchaz asa. There was no more war until the 35th year of Asa, which leads us into the final chapter and the end of the story of Asa, which is Divrei Hayamim, Tes Zion, chapter 16. And all throughout, again, all throughout, whenever we read the Prakim that deal with the Malchus Yisrael, we don't have any story to back it up in Divrei Hayamim. So Bishnash Shloshim Vishesh, in his 36th year, L'Malchus Asa, to the reign of Asa, Ola Basha Melch Yisrael Yehuda. And again, the years don't work out, but the king of Yisrael came up against Yehuda. Vayiven es harama, he built up this area of Rama. Lavilti teis yotzei uval la'asa, in order to somehow prevent and deter Asa, the king of Yehuda. Vayotzei as, and here we hear the story again, but from the perspective of Divrei Hayamim, we're comparing and contrasting. When he had the Ethiopian king, he relied on Hashem. But here, Vayotze Asa Kesev Vizov Me'otzros Beis Hashem U'Beis HaMelech. He empties the treasure houses of his palace and of the Beis HaMikdash. Vayishlach al Ben Hadad Melech Aram Hayoshi V'Damesek Lemor, and he sends it to the foreign king of Aram. Bris Beini U'Beinecha Bein Avi U'Bein Avicha. There's this covenant between us and between our fathers. Hine Shalachti L'cha Kesev Vizov. He doesn't mention the word that it's a bribe. Here it's like the way it should be, you know, under the table here. Here's a nice little present. Lechafer briskas as basha melch Yisrael v'yala me'alai. Go ahead and get rid of your second agreement with the king of Yisrael, and this way he'll get up. Vayishma ben Hadad ala melech Asa. He listens. Vayishlach sarei chalim asher lo el arei Yisrael v'yakus ion v'esdan v'es avol mayim v'es kol miskanos arei Naftali. He attacks. The king of the north stopped building this fortified place. He let his work stop, meaning he stopped the offensive, he left. He took everyone. He took the stones and the wood. The Basha built. He built his own fortified cities. So here, here enters the Navi, which you may have expected to see in Sefer Malachim. Uva'esahi ba Chanani haro'eh, a new Navi who we haven't heard. His name was Chanani the seer. Elasi came to King Asa, Melech Yehuda. Vayomer Elav, and he said to him, Behi shan echa al melech Aram. The fact that you leaned on to the king of Aram. Velo nish anta al Hashem elokecha. And you didn't lean on, you didn't rely on Hashem your God. Al kain nimlat chel melech Aram yadecha. Eventually this Aram is going to kind of leave your hand. You won't be able to rely on him. Halo hakushim va'alu luvim hayu l'chayel l'rov l'rechel l'frashim l'harbim me'od. Right, you had a war against the Kushim, and they had numbers on you. U'vishancha al Hashem nesanu biyadecha, and you relied on Hashem, like we saw in the Perek Yedalet of Divrei Yamim, and it worked. Ki Hashem einav mishotitos b'chol ha'aretz l'chazek im levavam shalom ilav. Hashem will basically run around the whole earth for those who have belief in him. Niskalta alzos, but you have been foolish. Kimeata yesh imcham milchamos, and kind of from now on, there's going to be wars, wars against you. And at this point, we see at least a perspective, at least a side of Asa that we never saw before. Pasuk Yud. Vayichas Asa el haro'eh. Asa got angry at the Navi, which is kind of very similar to some of the stories that take place at the end of the time of Malchus Yehuda, when Churban is coming and they can't handle Yirmiyahu saying prophecies of doom. Vayitnehu beis hamapeches, he put him in a prison. He bezaf imo, he has rage against the Malzos on this matter. Vayiratzeitz asam in ha'am ba'esahi, and he even oppressed some of the people at this time. And so there's, right, we have to put it in all. We keep reading. Right, we read how he did what was yasher in the eyes of Hashem. He was kid David Aviv. His heart was with Hashem for all of his life. But there's also this. I mean, you have to take the full picture. V'hinei divrei Asa rishon v'achronim hinam k'suvim al sefer ha'malachim l'Yehuda v'Yisrael. Everything else is written down in the Chronicles, and we hear a little bit more. Vayichale Asa b'shnas shloshim v'teisha l'malchus b'raglav. In his 39th year of being king, so it's towards the end, his last years of being king, he got this illness in his feet. Adlamala cholyo, and it was growing. It was very distressing. Vegamba cholo lo darash es Hashem ki berofim. He didn't search out Hashem. He only searched out doctors. Which again, nothing wrong with searching out doctors, but it's in the context of being Dorish Hashem. You have to be Dorish Hashem and the doctors, or you have to be Dorish Hashem that Hashem will send you the right, but if you only focus on the doctors without being Dorish Hashem, that's the wrong approach, definitely if you're the king. So this kind of adds to the negative aspects of him. Vayishkav Asa Mavosav, he passed away. Vayomas Bishnas Arbam V'achas L'molcho, that's when he died in his 41st year. Vayikberu B'kfurosav, he was buried. Asher Karalo B'ir David in Ir David. Vayishkaveu B'mishkav Asher Mile besamim muzinim meruchakim b'merkachas masa. It was very scented where he was buried. Vayisrof lo sreifa gedolad me'od. They made a very great burning for him. Nice smells. Again, just elaborate. Sounds like the details of a royal funeral. So what Divrei Hayamim does for us in three prakim is it kind of filled in some of the gaps, and it showed us the contrast with two specific stories, the story of how he handled the Ethiopian war and the story of how he handles the potential civil war and how his attitude was different. And we have the totality of his time being king, and we have to judge him. Again, the Tanakh is clear that he was doing what was yashar in the eyes of Hashem, but it wasn't full. And now we can understand why he may have been the king that could have brought the union back together, but unfortunately he wasn't able to. So Be'ezras Hashem, next time we'll pick up back in the Malchus Yisrael.